Apostle Arome Osai. Bless you, sir.
Amen. Glory to God in the highest. And so, Father, we give you praise. We exalt your great name. It's a critical season in your agenda for Europe. And we trust, oh God, that the resources needed to equip your servants for strategic labor continent of Europe will be downloaded, will be released upon the hearts of men in the name of Jesus. Breathe upon your word and make it life, and give us the capacity to prosecute your counsel in our localities in Jesus' name. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. I will take two scriptures to develop, to achieve some context. When we achieve that, we now know the direction that God wants us to go. I have my own note, but if we develop context and we know if the note is relevant or not. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We take a scripture from Genesis and a scripture from the book of Psalms. And God said, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Amen. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. Now, we will need to take inventory of the scope of man's authority. Because what God is making available to man is dominion. He's a creature of dominion. Now, a few investigations we need to do quickly in order to take a full hold of the context before we make progress. So, we want to click on the word dominion and find out what exactly, what's the meaning of the root word that was used in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Amen. Okay, the sound is good now, but the volume is too high, so you reduce the volume a little. Just a little. Because if I am moved, I might shout at some point. So we have that word there, radar. Let them have radar is what nations have in keeping with their sovereignty. Reduce the volume. You have not yet reduced the volume. Just reduce the volume. A nation has radar. That is what makes it sovereign. It's a sovereign political entity. it has radar. So what God was offering man was sovereignty. Right? I need to establish the context properly so that you will follow me as we travel. Let them have sovereignty. Because Switzerland is a sovereign nation, for instance, if I want to come into Switzerland, my entry will be negotiated at the embassy. Because it's a sovereign nation. The sovereignty of Switzerland does not cover me. So if I want to do business, if I want to access the territory of Switzerland, I will have to negotiate with the embassy because it's a sovereign state. Do you get that scripture? That's the first thing we would notice in that scripture. I've told you yesterday that every verse of the scripture that you read is unlocked by a certain key word that is in that verse. If you miss the key word that is in that verse, you have overlooked the meaning of the verse. It means you were in a hurry and you could afford to browse through without touching the substance. Scriptures are gateways to spirit dimensions. And except you stumble on the keyword that is in the verse and give it some meditative attention, you will not enter into the economy of grace that is trapped in that window. Let them have sovereignty. Let them become a sovereign government over the territory under which the Lord has placed them. Okay? That's number one. Number two, still in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, we want to investigate the scope of authority that was given to man. Let us make man in our own image. Let us make man after our likeness. So that's design. We have not come to design yet. We still come to the design. Hallelujah. You know, I was a classroom teacher. I was trained to teach. All right? I was trained to teach in school. So I used some of the things we got from the training to test the congregation if they are following me. So the second issue here that we need to check is the scope of authority that was given to man. Let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness, and let them have dominion, radar, over what? Over what? No. Just go back to the scripture. Is that how it is rendered? Over what? So the first item that was under the portfolio of his authority is aquatic dominance. By the time we begin to investigate, you are going to discover that some people's challenge is from the aquatic realm. But I don't believe me. Just let's take it step by step. So the first item in the portfolio of his dominion is aquatic. Yeah? What does he say again? So the second item is atmospheric. Yeah? Are you with me? Yeah? Read again. The third item is over living things that feed off the resources, the vegetative resources of the earth. So living things. Yeah? Go again. So the fourth dimension is terrestrial. So we have aquatic, we have atmospheric, we have terrestrial. Then he can survive on the resources that feed off the earth. Are you there? Now, in order to entrench this, I would need to take it to the book of Luke. The objective of the lecture is to build capacity, functional spiritual capacity, so that you can operate within the full scope of your ordination. Are you with me? Will we do something? I don't know if it's this morning or this evening. And then you will see the results of it either on the 7th day, 14th day, or 21st day. Because God decided to structure life under the sun according to base 7. Base 7. Alright? So I will show you some waves. We call them waves, spiritual waves. It will either strike on the 7th or 14th because it's 2 base 7. Let's go to the book of Luke as we continue this our matter, trying to establish this scope of dominion. Once we get that, we'll come back and then look at the design. This man was supposed to be in the image of God. Why? What's the meaning of the image of God? Supposed to be in the likeness of God. Why? Because that is a departure from the creative model that I've been operating up until that time. The model of creation before that time is that everything was created after its kind. But when the case of man now came, he was not created after its kind. He was created after the image of another, created after the likeness of another. So you were created, God is the original. You are actually a miniature. You are not original. Right? And I will tell you the implication of that. You were designed after another. So it is only God, the one that you were designed after, that can tell if you are functioning well. You know, it's possible in ministry for someone to think he's doing well because he has a big crowd. And his evaluation came from the perspective of man. But he was not created in the image of man, so it would take someone higher than him to bring out the result of his evaluation. Are you with me? Okay. So, we'll come back to image and likeness if the Lord allows us. But I want to establish the issue of this dominion. In order to do that, we need to go to the book of Luke chapter 10. It's a good morning, and I noticed that there was rainfall yesterday, even though I didn't hear the sound of the rain. I just saw that the roads were wet. That means the Lord is committed to making these few moments we share together the best possible. So we will just be flowing. If I see that we have arrived a place that we need to take a break, we'll go. Then we'll come back to continue in the evening. Now, so are you there in the book of Luke chapter 10? After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Are you there? The problem with that scripture is the way it started. It started with after these things. Now, you are not likely to understand what is happening in that verse except you check and know what those things were. Are you with me?
Yes.
Like I said, I am still testing you to know if you are ready. You know, some people are not ready for it. So in order for us to understand what's going on here, we will need to go and check those things. So let's go to chapter 9 and check the things. Then we'll come back to chapter 10 and then we'll continue in the reading. Chapter 9 verse 1. Where is... This my man forgets himself sometimes. Okay. 9 verse 1. Let's forget about my man then. He has other interests. He's attending to other matters. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So the subsequent verses are the marching orders he gave them. But the actual thing that took place is that he bequeathed to them some capacity to represent him. Because this mission he was sending these guys to, he was not going to accompany them. That's why he's giving them marching orders. This is what you do with the resources I'm making available. This is the kind of stuff I want you to achieve with the things I am making available to you. And the two things he made available to them was power and authority. Do you still remember the scope of the authority of man as mentioned? The reason why I took you to the book of Genesis is so that we can satisfy the demands of the law of first mention as the principle of biblical interpretation. So that's the first time in the entire Bible that the authority that man has was mentioned, the scope of authority. Are you still with me?
Yes,
so Jesus wanted some things to be done in the countryside. He wanted to bring the influence of the kingdom of God on the cities, on the villages, on the towns round about where he was located. And he invited the 12 to him. And he did something that he has not done previously. He gave them power. He gave them authority. Send them to preach. Can you check the message he asked them to preach? Check the message. What did he ask them to preach? That statement I made is for the wise, just so that you can think about it. Our generation is so conscious because what we preach today is about economic empowerment, about success, about prosperity. That's what we preach today. And that's the goal. It's like the ultimate revelation. We listen to me. I don't have time. I don't have time. You will not believe that if we go up to the book of Acts of the Apostles, right? Jesus had resurrected from the dead, and the time interval from his resurrection to his bodily ascension was 40 days. Are you there?
Yes.
He had just 40 days to recalibrate the apostles. He had just 40 days to update the apostles. He had just 40 days to instruct them and to bring them into alignment so that they will know the meaning of the kingdom business that he was bequeathing to them. He had just 40 days to do that. That sounds like he was constrained with time. Guess All these 40 days, the only thing he preached, he never emphasized prosperity or success. Because prosperity is a symptom of alignment to God. It's not a message. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord his God, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he lays his hands upon to do, it shall prosper. See, prosperity is the consequence of alignment. You are not with me. The consequence of alignment is one of the indicators that reveal that I am aligned. And if your own prosperity was gotten not by the principles of the kingdom of God, it will have symptoms that suggest that yours is, even though it is prosperity, your own is false prosperity. Are you there? If your prosperity takes you away from God, if your prosperity preoccupies you so that God becomes second place, it's not accurate prosperity. I don't want to go into all of that. But you see, Jesus had only 40 days, and Jesus did not preach success. The only thing he preached, according to the book of Acts, chapter 1, was about the kingdom of God. So that's the business that Jesus came to pioneer on earth. He came to pioneer the affairs of the kingdom of his Father. The interest that is sustained in the heart of his Father was what he came to implement upon the face of the earth. And when he was leaving, he gave the baton to his functionaries and introduced them to the scope of the enterprise that he was managing before this time that he has to leave. Have you read that scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Then you now see that prosperity becomes a consequence. If you start seeking prosperity, what will happen to you is that your soul will be possessed by a spirit called mammon. That's one of the only times in the entire Bible that Jesus uses the Greek word proton. Seek ye proton. The second time Jesus uses that word is in the book of Revelation, when he says, you have lost your proton love. That's what English calls it, first love. But it is chemistry. Okay, the Lord will help us. Now let's go back and try to excavate from here. He says, preach the kingdom of God, then heal the sick. Then he gives them marching orders. So these are the things that happened that chapter 10 is now saying, after these things. Exactly. Yes. So I think we can go to chapter 10 now, and then the understanding of chapter 10 is adequate. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. The next problem we have with this verse is the use of the word also. First problem we had was after these things. We need to make reference. Second problem we have is also. Because also creates the idea of a common ground of comparison. So, the first time, it was 12 guys he appointed. The second time, it is 70 guys he appointed. But he appointed them how? Also. You are not following me. Also. They also means that the same way he commissioned the first guys, that's the same way he is commissioning this second guy. So there was no need, are you there?
Yes, sir.
To go into details anymore. They also captures all of the protocol of the commissioning in the first instance. And how did he do it the first time? He gave them what? Power and authority. And then he commissioned them to preach what? And after they have preached the kingdom of God, to prove that this kingdom is superior to the kingdom of darkness, they must do practicals in the manifestation of healing to show that the authority they have is superior to the authority that is responsible for the sickness. That is a proof that the kingdom is valid. Exactly. Do you get the context? Good. So, now that you got the context, I'll show you something. We are still talking about man. You see, when we have spoken about man and you understand man, then the next thing that we need to speak about is altar. The power of a man is in his altar. When you know how to, the 12 laws that govern the practice of the life of an altar, then you now move to the next level, which is the realm of thrones. Ain't it? So, now, you might decide that you want to live life naturally. Maybe the PhD you got in finance, in business finance, and then you got a certificate in chartered accounting. So that's what you are using to live your life. That your life will be good until the day someone that is skillful spiritually takes interest on your life. Then you will discover that your certificate, the ACCA you went to South Africa to write, has no authority whatsoever. You will discover that as much as I celebrate your academic feats, and it will also interest you to know that I'm not an illiterate. I just want that balance to be there. As much as I celebrate that, your PhD will be ridiculed the day you are confronted with a situation that is orchestrated from the realm of the spirit. So, Jesus did not give them certificates from Birmingham College. What he gave them is what? He didn't give them certificates. I know how you felt when you were to be given your first degree certificate, second degree certificate, when you wore the gown. You feel the whole picture. But if Jesus is looking at you, he will say, this man is naked. He doesn't have the tools that are required for him to prosecute life. His calling is a calling to establish sovereignty. He needs tools by which he can so establish. He will realize that he's not equipped for life the moment someone that is educated in the kingdom of darkness takes interest in him. Then it will be clear that he's naked. I'm a preacher. I've been preaching for a few years, not too many years, like my elder brother. Not too many years. But I have seen
Maybe because of the mercy of God. I have stood before kings and I've seen their helplessness. Now, from here, we are going to Tanzania. So, everybody knows we are going to Tanzania. You will see some of these people will go there before I arrive. Then they will make contact. What do they want? They want to know what God is saying about a matter. With the power, the political power you think he has, wasn't sufficient to tackle the issue. He needs to. As powerful as he is, he doesn't have an altar. So he will need to subscribe to the power of an altar that someone is servicing. The currency in which life is measured is not in census. Polling units. You know, in Africa, you know how powerful a polling unit is. Census and polling. But you also know that our kings in Africa are not made by those statistics. Most of the time, the people that rule in Africa never won the election. The election was just a... So there are other things that are stronger than your voter's card and your... Yes. They can manipulate things. Everybody knows this was manipulated and nobody can do anything about it. Whenever you see that, you will know that they have something that is superior to your will. They have an altar. But stay with me. We need to finish talking about man first. Man. Okay. So in Luke chapter 10. So they also in that scripture says, okay, they were empowered the same way they were empowered the last time. Then he sent them two and two before his face into every place whither he himself will come. It means he's not going with them. That established from that verse. Then he gives them the full template of the marching orders, which is not my interest at the moment. If you have a red letter Bible, the next few verses are going to be in red. Those are marching orders. Now, we will be interested in them when we want to talk about marching orders. It's a course. It's a full syllabus. The marching orders of Jesus. There are many people that don't have marching orders. And that is an indication of the fact that you don't have a commander. Now, I will show you what it means to live without a commander. So, marching orders. We're not interested in that this morning. Alright, so. You there? Verse number 17. I want us to take inventory of the testimony that the guys that were sent out brought. Are you there in 17? Are you following it? Okay. So, and the 70 returned again with joy. Now, you did not take note. You did not take note of the two variables. There are two variables that you did not see. Okay, Jesus is sending them to towns, to villages, to places he himself will eventually come to. Right? The first variable is the people he's sending are not on the same level of spiritual maturity. Some just got born again. Some have been in the faith. Some know how to pray. Others don't know. There's that variable. So, because of the differences in their spiritual capacity, you will expect that the outcome of their mission will be different. Because that's a variable. Second variable is the terrain. The terrain are not the same. At least I have been to Belgium. That's all the witches of Europe. They have something, they have an investment in Belgium. The terrain is not the same. Some terrains are difficult. Some others are not as difficult. So these are two variables. And Jesus never took consideration of the variables. Why? Is it not a mission initiative? You look into all of these factors before you deploy. And in fact, your expectation is based on these very cogent factors. But when the 70 returned, all of them had the same result. Why? Okay, I won't help you with that. This one is, why is it? In the face of differences in capacity, in the face of differences in terrain, they all returned with the same emotion. They all returned. It was when they started sharing their testimony, they discovered, wait. It's the same testimony across board. Meanwhile, they went to different places. My question is, why? Do you realize that the power and authority Jesus gave them did not belong to them? It belonged to Jesus. So, as they were on the field, they were operating as Jesus. So the same results that Jesus will get was the same results that they got. And it was in spite of their capacities or the terrain. Is that clear? Now, this is their testimony. He said, even the devils. Now, my problem there is the word even. Even. What does even mean in that scripture? They were not expecting that the devils will submit. They expected other things to submit, and those things submitted. And then, to their amazement, even the devils too submit. Now, the word devil in that scripture is not devil the way you think. It's daimonion. You know, we're talking about the scope of man's authority. We say, first is what? You've forgotten, so soon. Second is? Third is? So you say, even they, do you also realize that the ranks of demons are in these categories? If we go to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, where we have a full catalog of the different types of demonic expressions, we have principalities, we have powers, we have the rulers of the darkness of this world, and we have spiritual wickedness in high places. Is that true? Good. Second question I need to ask you is, in what order were they mentioned in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10? Is it in order, ascending order of rank, or descending order of rank? Ascending. So what? Yeah? When you study your Bible, everything we need is in that book. But the way you read it will determine whether your questions are answered or whether you live with questions. In what order of rank? Hey, these twins, they look alike. Oh. In what order of rank? So are we saying that the least in rank is the principality? Okay, we are saying that the highest in rank is the principality. So, You know, nobody is answering. You know what we are saying is. You see, the first mistake you will make is to think that the Bible is not intellectual. That's the first mistake. You think it's easy. It is when you try to comprehend the meaning that you now discover it's not available. Because it was not designed to be cerebral. It was not designed to lend itself easily to a mental man. It is supposed to draw you to the place where understanding is born. And it is only the inspiration of the Almighty that giveth them understanding. Now, let me tell you, let me show you something. Then we'll continue. Because I'm trying so hard to tell you about man. If I succeed, I hope I do. Then we can now go to the subject of the day for which so much of yesterday night was dedicated. Altar. If you don't know man, you cannot know altar. Now, how many of you have studied the book of Daniel? I'm not saying you understand it, but you went there some time ago and did something that looked like, okay. You will hear Angel Gabriel. Angel Gabriel was dispatched to Daniel because he was interceding. And as he was trying to go through, he entered into the region that was governed by a prince, a demonic prince. When he entered into that airspace, he was apprehended and locked up. Are you there? Because the keeper of that airspace is a demonic prince. You see, there's ranking in the spirit. And it happens to be that in the world of spirits, only a prince can bind a prince. And Gabriel is not an angelic prince. So Gabriel doesn't have ranking capacity in light like the demonic prince that bound him. In order to rescue Gabriel from his prison, Michael was dispatched, and Michael happens to be a prince. Is that correct? So the prince Michael went into contention, released Gabriel to go fulfill his errand. He came 21 days late. The first thing he came to tell Daniel was, "Oh Daniel," because Gabriel used to appear to Daniel in dreams, giving messages. That was the mode of his encounters at that time. But because of this warfare, he couldn't wait for Daniel to sleep. That was why he appeared. The angels will prefer to encounter you through your dreams. Yes, it's the preference. But when you begin to see them in visions, it is because there is a serious matter. When you begin to see them in revelations, revelation is when it leaves its own realm and comes into your own realm. Those don't happen very often. Just like Jesus leaving his realm, coming into your realm. It doesn't happen very often. Are you there? Like, I see Jesus a lot in visions. He would just stand like that. I'll see him, then he's speaking to me, say, I see him a lot, almost, it's very frequent. But they, Jesus stepping out of his realm to come into my realm. Yeah, in Dubai, it happened. In fact, the 9 seconds instruction he gave me in Dubai is the meaning of 12 years of my life. Are you with me? Yeah. The other one, I don't know if that one is he came or I can't tell you where we met. Whether that one is difficult to say. Whether he was in my room or whether he carried me in the spirit, in the body or outside, it's difficult. So I may not classify that one as a revelation. I hope you know what I mean by revelation in this context. It's when a spirit being leaves his realm and comes into your realm. Your spirit is fitted with utensils by which you can capture, you can encounter, you can trap spiritual reality. According to the book of John, chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In the eyes of Jesus, the proof that you are born again is that you have capacity to perceive the realm that God operates. Get that?
Yeah.
Good. So there are utensils, there are capacities you have. And that's not the emphasis of the lecture today. All right? Teaching about the prophetic, how to build your capacity to perceive, to apprehend, to articulate, to understand. That's not lecture today. You get that? Now, I was on a scripture. We're explaining a scripture. Good. So, we're trying to find out. According to the book of Daniel, you will notice that there was an activity overhead. And that activity overhead was not an activity for men. It was an activity for the angelic. So there's a realm in which the angelic operate. That realm is what the Bible calls in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, heavenly places. Now let us give it a technical terminology. Are you there?
Yes.
Let us, this terminology is theological, it's not biblical. It's just a terminology that is used to connote heavenly places. Okay. Let's leave it. Since you are already offended that I want to introduce a terminology to use to capture that framework, that frame of reference. Right? Theologically, it's called astra, that is the heavenly. Do you realize that in that astral realm, they are called princes? That means, in terms of rank, they are the highest. So, when you hear spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms, that's astra. The highest ranking spirits operate there. Those ones don't touch the ground. I don't have time to show you what will happen to the earth when one of such touches earth. They don't. The energy that they carry is beyond your comprehension. So they operate in the astral realm. So there are three demonic types that operate terrestrially: principalities, powers, and rulers. The least in rank is the principality. The specialty of the principality is to secure a premise for Satan to operate. The word principality is compound. Prince, which means authority. Pality means territory. So you see, what the principality does is that he seeks to secure territory where Satan can operate. You will notice that Jesus called Satan the prince of this world. Why did he call him the prince of this world? Prince of this world. The prince of this world. In that scripture, when Jesus called Satan the prince of this world, there's a technical kingdom register that is deployed in that scripture. Because what Jesus meant was that Satan, in kingdom system. That's why I watch medieval films, because it calibrates my mind to kingdom thinking. Most of you, what you watch are elections. It's difficult for you to understand the context and the registers that are used in that context. If you see a prince in a kingdom, you know he has authority. There's only one thing a prince doesn't have. He doesn't have a territory to exercise that authority. So, Jesus acknowledges that Satan is a prince because he doesn't have any legitimate territory to exercise his authority. So that's the role of the principality. The principality has specialty to secure territory for demonic influence. So it's the spirit at the baseline. Let me give you a few. Meanwhile, we are going too far in this matter, in this our definition matter. Let me give you a few ways that principalities secure territory. It's the territories that these principalities have secured that the other spirits influence. Because the principality cannot keep in custody those territories he has secured. So he needs to invite others to help him hold the ground. For those of us that are sensitive to the children we are raising, you must have discovered the cartoons that are made these days. Very spiritual cartoons. Now, there are 12 demonic open doors. They are principalities are trying to advertise the reign of darkness. Right? And if you are not a sensitive parent, you just throw everything at them and then just... At some point, it is possible to make spiritual contact with the reality that is responsible for the cartoon. At that point, it's just like karate. He said, "Huh?" So one guy was trying to, and then I said, "Okay, when you do some of the, then you now do some yoga, meditation, and then the guy now he was following a book. He didn't have any instructor, so he would read the book, try to do the thing, then he would do yoga meditation, and then." A time came when he realized he was doing what was not in the book. See, what had happened to him is that his spirit has taken over. But he's not aware. He calls it yoga. But all of those gateways, principalities want to master you. And there are 9 gateways to the human soul. If you check, there are 9 openings your body has. And that's why we have 9 gifts of the Spirit. Huh? When you see to the base 9, when you see numberings in scripture to base 9, the emphasis there are gates. These your eyes, as fine as they are, can be the source of your bondage. Have you ever met someone that is hooked on pornography? You see, it looks like he's innocent, but I'm just, no. It's through the gateway of the eyes that are not manned that the principality was able to trigger a lust that anchors his soul. We also have books. Since the 90s, some writers, I don't know where they came from, but they began to, and they are exceptionally intelligent writers. They began to distill witchcraft into writing. You know what I'm talking about. I don't want to mention the names of the books because we are online. Somebody can sue me and say, see, I'm trying to spoil their stuff. One of those books, the first one in the series that was written, I know pastors, general overseers, hit men of ministries that recommend those books as manuals to their pastors. Meanwhile, if you check, and I don't want to mention the name of the book, because, and I can also mention the name of the ministry, the pastors I'm talking about, but I can do that offline. Now, listen, the book, for those of you that did elementary biology, you know, we were taught about creatures like unicellular organisms, like amoeba. And they are asexual. That means they don't have sex organs. Right? The man, after writing the book, his books are immoral. That means they are lacking in morality. It's there on the back of the book. But pastors recommend it. This is a man. You will manage. So, are you with me? I don't know how to help you. Do you realize that after the flood, Noah came out of the ark, and when he came out of the ark, he raised an altar to the Lord and sacrificed clean beasts on the altar. Why? Are those animals not the animals he labored for 40 days and 40 nights to preserve? Only for him to come out, instead of him to think of building a house, the first thing he does is, you are not solved your accommodation problem. You obviously have one. And the guy, that was not his first priority. You are not with me. Where did we stop? Let's just end this. Let's cut this thing. So that we'll now, I can show you some other matters. If not, we'll get lost. Well, you see, it's almost 1 o'clock. Jesus Christ. Are you there?
Yes.
This guy comes out of the ark. And when he comes out of the ark, I was thinking he will attend to his accommodation issue because he has a very terrible accommodation problem. He goes up, raises an altar, then sacrifices some of the animals he has kept for 40 days and 40 nights. Because those men, they know something we don't know. That the life of a man is not secure if he doesn't have. Do you realize how weak you are? The other day, COVID came, people will breathe in like this and die. That's how weak you are. Breathe in and die. Breathe and die. Then we now started wearing face masks. And then they now said, you are even more at risk when you wear. Man is frail. Man is weak. The Bible speaks about our infirmities, and the infirmities is in plural. You have tons of weaknesses beyond your imagination. You can drink water and die. You can eat food and die. You can breathe in because of that. You need what? And somebody might say, oh, you have come again. The terminology altar is a metaphor that only exists in the Old Testament. Dave, this man, are you still there? The man managing this facility. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10. Hebrews. Oh, the man is not interested. So me too, I'm not interested. Yes, no. So this. Now listen. No, we'll, let us leave that out. Are you there?
Yes.
The man has now come. What does he say? We have. This is New Testament. This guy is talking. This New Testament talk. And what is he saying? We have an altar. You will discover, as we study the Bible, that they are not just altars on earth. They are altars in the realm of the spirit. In heaven, they are altars. Because heaven itself doesn't function without altars. You were not instructed. You know, we are still talking about... Let me not go ahead of myself. Calm down. Step on the brakes. Let's see. So, when those 70 guys came back and said, even the devils, click on it, you will see it's daimonion. Even the daimonion were subject to us in your name. You know, I told you there are three spirits that are terrestrial, principalities, powers. The highest in the terrestrial framework, in rank, is the rulers. So the daimonion are rulers. Stay with me. So there are some other demons that... The daimonion are those spirits that are responsible for establishing culture in territory. The way of life. They prescribe ways of life to men, to human beings. So in Liberia, there is a way they marry women in Liberia. And there is no document that captures why they should be doing it that way. In fact, in a certain culture, it's in the night. You don't negotiate marriage until the sun goes down. Where is the document that captures this? It's the daimonion. It says even the others, we saw small demons, they ran away. But even the daimonion were subject to us in your name. I don't want to press that. I just want to show you. We're still talking about the man and dominion, man and all of that. Your calling, your mandate, your ordination will require power for you to fulfill it. It will require authority for you to fulfill it. It's not a walk in the park. You just show up and say, I'm here. If you arrive without power, you are not equipped for destiny. Even... He used to be my brother here, an international footballer, world-class footballer. Even on the football pitch, there are people that come with things. They come with things that, enhancements, that are supernatural. Because you are a learner in life if you don't know that life is not fair. It's not fair. It's manipulated by the supernatural. In fact, Jesus, in the book of Matthew, made us to understand that his idea of how to prosecute natural life is with power. He said, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. Because the guys that believe in my name are not supposed to be ordinary people. They are supposed to be supernatural people. That's how they prosecute life. In their most natural state of existence, they cast out devils. Because whether you like it or not, you work in the finance world. The strongest demons, that's where they operate. Oh, you want to master the economic war front and you don't have an altar, an idol that you bow to? It's only church people that believe we can sing our way into victory. Did you get it to that point? Now, go back. It says in Hebrews chapter, Luke chapter 10, we are still investigating the testimony that they brought. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils, the daimonion, are subject unto us through thy name. That's their own testimony. Their testimony was about the fact that their authority was valid. Don't forget. Let us make man in our own image and after our own likeness, and let them have dominion. Their testimony was in the validity of their authority. Don't forget. We'll still go back and then we'll clean up and put some things in perspective. And then the ground will be ready for us to begin altars. We can't finish it this conference, right? Can't finish it. We'll just start it a little. And for every part of the syllabus we cover, I will arm you with a well-rounded knowledge of the matter so that you can start practice. The training that is supposed to take place in church is not a training that gives people information. It's a training that gives people understanding. See, you know, I told you I was in the classroom.
Yeah, I was in the
classroom. In fact, I missed the classroom. Jesus Christ. I missed it. Teaching further mathematics, physics. Even people that were cursed, they passed. It's so easy. See, this is like, I missed it. But the Lord compensated me with that I will lecture in his house. And It's a compensation. Of all the gifts he gave me, the biggest is. Are you with me? So I always thank him for it. How he. You know, I was born in stammer, I couldn't say anything. Then he says, I'll preach. You'll preach for me. I say, how do you. You create people. You forgot to give me the ability. I just said, I will preach. He didn't want me to depend on the flesh in the delivery. So I need to pray for long. If you have a stammering problem, you are very anointed. You have the potential to be very, very anointed. But you need to pray for long. When you do that, the stammering will lift. You'll be able to communicate properly. When you finish preaching, the stammering will come back. Pray again to lift. You preach. You preach very well. When you finish preaching, it will come back even more than what was existed before. So that's a good way that God puts you in captivity and ensures that you always seek him. So it's not everything God delivers you from. Some you will live with them. You know, it was when I went to London, I had my eyes were red. So they said, hey, please, you won't preach today. Go and see the ophthalmologist. So I saw the guy. He said, yes, you have facial palsy 7. That's what they told me. Meanwhile, I was born like that, right? And I went to God and said, heal this thing. He said, no, this one, you will live with it. It's not everything God will. Not everything. He showed me when I was in 300 level that he can heal it. He touched it. He touched it for 3 days. And life came back here. After 3 days. Just to show me that. See, I am not. I don't have. Are you there now? Okay. So this is their own testimony. Their testimony is in the validity of their authority. But let's listen to Jesus' testimony. He has said theirs. Jesus' testimony is in verse 18. Because Jesus did not go with them to the field. And this is what Jesus has to say. I beheld Satan fall like what? lightning from where? Underline heaven. There are two things happening here. The guys he sends, are you there? Exercises authority territorially and defeated even the Daimonion. But where Satan is operating from is the astral realm. It's not within the scope of our authority. So Jesus was the one that his intercession released angelic beings that brought Satan. Yeah. So that's his own testimony. So these are two different scenarios. Any spirit that comes into the territorial frame of things, you can conquer that spirit. Even if Satan decides to come territorial, he has entered into your jurisdiction. You have authority over him. You can bind him, put him in a box and say, remain there. Do not try to operate, exercise authority beyond the scope of your authority. Some people have challenged spirits in the astral realm. That's the reason for which many good men died. Did you get it? So have you understood this? There's a last scripture I need to open to you in the book of Psalms 8. Still talking about man. When we finish that, then I will show you what about man makes him capable of setting up an altar. When we come in the evening, I will show you the legalities. I will show you the royal decree. Then we can start talking about the 12 laws of the altar. Exactly. Hallelujah. If we finish altar, maybe the next conference will now go into the warfare of thrones. This is altar. This one, thrones. And then, as we finish teaching this evening, if there are people with demonic cases, you will see the ease with which the demons will go today. Amen. No. When you listen to news in the night, you don't say amen. This one I'm saying now is not a faith talk. This is news. It's from heaven.
Hallelujah.
Huh? Hallelujah. Don't mind me. It's okay. Psalms 8. I'll round up on 8. Now, Pastor, give me the permission to open the Bible. Because what I will open now might contradict our theology, but I will show you from the Bible. That means what you believe is not in the Bible. Can I go on? Okay. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Sorry, let me just use my stuff. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength. Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy hands, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. We'll come back to this scripture. Imagine is not there for now. I will show you the source of enchantment. I will show you the source of divination. I will interpret what Jesus meant by snake and scorpion. Are you there? So, okay. We will come back to this scripture. Verse 2 is very powerful. Then he says, what is man? This is a question I want us to end the session answering. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is the Son of Man that thou visitest? I'm not saying who is man. What I'm saying is, what is man? What are you? You can never answer this question except you meet the manufacturer of you. But we know who you are because your parents gave you that. And they were wrong, actually. They were wrong. So now we are probing deeper. Not by what your parents said about you. We are probing into what the manufacturer is saying about you. That's what you are. What is man? Thou art mindful of him. The Son of Man that thou visited is because of what you are that God sets up a schedule of visitation for you. Whether you are not aware, we are aware or not, God visits all humankind the same way he was visiting Adam in the garden. He has not stopped visiting till today. How do I know this? Acts chapter 17, verse 26. If this, my technical man, can do that, just that one scripture, I won't ask him to even open anyone. Because it's a burden. It's a burden to open it. But if he opens this one, he has done it. Are you there? This is Paul speaking. This is the first time Paul does apologetics. He's speaking to people that do not have the Bible as their authority. In order to preach to them, he uses their own philosophy to preach to them. First time he does. This is apologetics. Bringing defense to the truth. It is one thing for you to preach what you know. Huh? Do you realize it's another thing for you to defend what you know? It's a different skill from preaching what you know. You can preach what you know well. You may not have the skill to defend it. When we put what you know on the table and begin to criticize it. Are you there? So that is one of my roles in the body of Christ. Because in the last 25 years, the falsest of preachers, especially on the continent of Africa, if you don't know theology in Africa, you don't know what I'm talking about. The falsest of preachers have risen. And they just say stuff. So a time came when we needed to defend the truth. Then it became obvious that only few men have the skill. I now realize the reason why God detained me for one decade. Yeah, on the scriptures. Meanwhile, I was already a graduate from Bible school then. He said, can you sit down? this that again. So, people were just doing freelancing, doing rubbish, preaching doctrines of devils. People were celebrating them. Eh? And then, he now came to me and said, okay, you can start talking now. Everything. Out of place. And the senior men that I expected that should handle the matter did not handle the matter. Then it was later I discovered that the skill was not there. Those senior men grew by prayer and not by doctrine. And our generation needs both to fight the demons of this time. So I will develop a treatise against falsehood, as if I'm going to court. At first, they tried to intimidate me that, oh, we will kill you. Oh, no, that's not how it was done. Apostle Paul, in his delivery of the word of God, there are times where he disputed, he contended. That's how they fight for the truth. Meanwhile, every one of us is given the responsibility to contend for the truth, which was once delivered unto us, unto the saints. So we started the work of contention so that our children will not bow down to a God in the name of Jesus that Apostle Paul cannot identify. And we started that contention. We became targets. But I knew the one that had called me, that none of the lilies of the field fall to the ground without the knowledge of our Father. Meanwhile, I do not consider my life so important that it will not serve God even in death. So if you are looking for a man to intimidate, I'm not on the list. The things I have seen in the spirit, there's nothing flesh that I can fear. I can't fear bombs and blights and plagues. The things I've seen in the spirit. They tried for 1 year insulting me on social media. Then they discovered I wasn't answering. The next time I come with my Bible, I say, you know, this is a matter. And according to the scripture. So the desire for truth began to rise in the body of Christ. I went to dangerous nations to challenge what they were preaching that was in conformity with the doctrines of devils. It's only this woman that can follow me. Only this one. Because I was a dead man a long time ago. And gradually, people began to say, oh. Because the kind of stuff that was coming in, Christianity was going to die from within. It's a different enterprise to preach what you know and to defend what you preach. Hallelujah. I'll be sitting on my own, then the Holy Ghost will say, this matter, go and talk about it. And he knows that I'm going to be a victim because of that. So, but I realized that I cannot claim to know how to protect me more than God. I can't. The other day, someone said he died, went to hell, and then he brought a message from hell to preach. Then, we took scripture. Because the person was sounding sanctimonious and pious. Because Satan can be religious too, he can quote scriptures. And when we analyzed it, we saw that indeed something spoke to them, but it was not the Holy Ghost. Do you know how long they called us to curse us? Because as they were preaching that thing, they were selling books. People were buying their books and they were buying houses and cars. When I took that Bible study, none of my message in all my preaching had ever gone that far. The books stopped selling. The cars were no longer coming. And they were calling at the lines and sending curses. You know why we are still here? The curses didn't work. We will win by the revelation of the word of God. And I came to show you secrets, but I'm just preparing the ground. You know, it doesn't matter how far we go this time, we'll continue. we'll keep continuing. The Bible says God has made man of one blood, all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And there are two things that the sovereignty of God did. The first thing is that he determined the times before appointed or the times of their visitation. If you check other translations, that's one. It means all nations have times of visitation. What is man that thou art mindful of him? He also determined the boundaries of the habitation. That means you are in the United Kingdom today. It was not because you were smart. The reason why you could survive there was because God preordained that you would be in the United Kingdom. How many of you try to stay in a certain nation, but that's not where you are now? Huh? Okay. Yeah. I see that. So it's God that appoints the times of our visitations and the boundaries of our habitation. It's because of what man is that God visits him. It's because of what man is that God is mindful of him. Is that clear? Good. So, we want to find out what is man. Then I'll rest my case. What is man? Anyone trying to help us? What is man? Not who is man. Not Adam. Not Eve. What is man? Okay, let's begin by simple definition before we go into complex definitions. The complex definitions are supposed to reveal your capacities, things that you can achieve, things that you can. Right? Simple definition. The traditional definition of this question or answer to this question is that man is a spirit. He possesses a soul and he lives in a body. Right, that's the traditional definition. That definition is not in the Bible. Yeah, I challenge you to. If you bring a superior theological position, I will submit to it. Because the only... Yeah, this is the guiding light the Lord has given us. But before you make your own position, let me give you a few scriptures for us to think of. Because if man... Are you there? You are not following. Were you aware of a Nigerian preacher, pastor? You are more elderly than I am in ministry. Are you aware of that Nigerian preacher that says that because man is spirit, the real you is spirit? Right? So, just like, maybe this is my handset. Eh? This handset is not me. Is that true? It is what I have. It's not what I am. Are you there? In this case now, this handset, this thing you have, is your body. So this, your body, is not you. So he used that to prove that if you are committing fornication, it's not you. Now, stay with me. You are not with me. Oh, come. Just stay. Do you know? Oh my. Oh my God. Are you there?
Yes.
It is because of that error. Only truth cannot be exploited that way. If it is truth, it cannot be exploited that way. It's because of that error we believed, which there is no scripture to prove, that these new philosophies are emerging. Man is not a spirit. Come with me, go to the book of Luke chapter 24. Let us, you know, I know you will shake, but let us agree that the Bible is the authority. Luke chapter 24 verse 39. This is Jesus after his resurrection. The disciples were confused if he was the one, and he wanted to prove to them that he was the one, which is resurrected body. Don't forget. So Jesus says, "Behold my hands and my feet." The reason why I can behold you is because you occupy space. A spirit doesn't occupy space, so I cannot behold the spirit. Exactly. Jesus says, "Handle me and see." The reason why I can handle you is because you contain matter. Handle me. Right? Because this is not a realm for spirits, it's a realm of matter, of space, and of time. This event took place in time. Matter, space, time. Jesus now goes forth and says, For a spirit had not flesh and bones as ye see me have. This is Jesus speaking. And he's speaking clothed with his glorified body. Even in that state, he claimed he was not. That's not how his spirit is. Think of it. Do you know that Jesus is in heaven today as a man? That is, he chose to retain humanity. And he is the hope that humanity can inherit glory. The first example that humanity has a glorified form that can survive the atmosphere, the frame of reference called glory. Except you have an authority that is higher than Jesus to tell us something contrary to what Jesus has said. He says, a spirit does not have flesh and bones as ye see me have. Please touch your wife. If you feel flesh and bone there, tell her she's not a spirit. This is where I want to end the lecture today. This morning. Then when we come back, I will now tell you that in the entire creation of God, only man has the legitimacy, not even God, only man has the legitimacy to operate legally in the spirit realm through his spirit and legally in the natural realm through his body. God cannot operate in the natural. He doesn't have a physical body. If you got it to that point, then we can continue the lecture. Then we can now start. This, everything I taught is to prepare you for altar. You need to be, because let me finish the definition. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Is that our man? Is he still? Has he moved? Okay, I'm coming. Let me give you. I quoted from my head. Let me check my own Bible first. Aha. Okay, so that's my scripture. This is Apostle Paul speaking. And Apostle Paul says that God intends to sanctify us wholly. Underline the word wholly. Then he now reveals to us what holy means. What does it mean? Your whole spirit and your whole soul and your whole body. So man is spirit, soul, body. Man is not a spirit. Even in your glorified state, you still be spirit, soul, body. You know, are you there?
Yeah, we are here.
Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Good. If a man dies, his spirit and soul, which is immaterial, is what moves to Hades. You see, Hades is like a waiting lounge. It's a place for departed spirits. Luke chapter 16. Hades has two compartments. One is called paradise, or Abraham's bosom. The other one is called Hades. It's called Gehenna, which is what we call hell. Hell is not a permanent place. And paradise is not a permanent place. It's the awaiting lounges. So if you died with your faith in Christ, you will move to paradise. With your spirit and your soul. What is resurrection? It is the day. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You're not. Okay. Do you realize that there was a tree in the Garden of Eden called the Tree of Life?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Unfortunately, Adam decided to eat another tree. Do you realize that after Adam ate the other one, God said, let us go and block the way of the Tree of Life, because if Adam eats it, He will live forever. That means the tree of life has two products. Life, he also has immortality. Are you there? So man, before the fall, was innocent, he was not righteous. If he had eaten of the tree of life, the nature of God would have entered him. And it will mature to produce the fruit of immortality. It will be impossible for him to die. So, what Jesus did is, Jesus' first coming, he came and gave us life. Jesus' second coming, he will come to give us immortality. Because the gospel revealed life and immortality. Did you get it? So, when that man dies with his faith in Jesus Christ, he goes to paradise. I don't have time to tell you how paradise is, the life in paradise. No time. This study I'm telling you took me 10 years of my life. Study everything about the passage after this life. The millennial reign. 10 years. To know where God is going. That's when I understood the feast, the Jewish feast. And I discovered that the real calendar is not this one we are using. And so when someone is in paradise, he's there with his spirit and soul. So in paradise, you notice they could recognize themselves. And it's Lazarus. That's the soul. So all of that is in paradise. What is resurrection means that we have overcome death. We are that's immortality. So when Jesus comes at the time of the last trumpet, our spiritual bodies that are in heaven will be released. So this spirit soul will enter into that casement. And that body is not modified to operate in this realm of reference. So the people that receive that body while they are living will be raptured. The ones that receive the body while they are dead, death will not have dominion over. Is that clear? And there is a technology by which this can happen. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't need to trouble you with that. So, you will always be tripartite, spirit, soul, and body. Man is spirit, soul, and body. Do you know that the way a man uses his body can affect his eternal destiny? This body. Do you know that idol worship has nothing to do with your body? But it's your soul. And you join your soul to Satan. That is trade. It's trade. The way you buy things in the market. Oh my God. Spirit. So. God says he wants to sanctify. Whole. When we come back for the evening lecture, we'll start the talk on altars. We are the only beings that can legitimately operate in the invisible realm and the visible realm at the same time. Not even God has this privilege. This is what makes man a key factor in opening the gates for the unseen realm to dominate the seen realm. See you in the evening.